It's the Good Glow podcast with Charlene Murphy. This season of the Good Glow is brought to you with thanks to Dove's new Advanced Care Body Wash. This week I'm off to run the Chicago Half, so I've been using the Gentle Scrub with exfoliating minerals, which gently exfoliates and moisturizes your skin, so hopefully I will be glowing in Chicago. Unlike ordinary body washes, it's made with 24-hour renewing micro moisture, and this is a groundbreaking new technology from Dove. It deposits millions of tiny but powerfully moisturizing droplets that, instead of getting washed off in the shower, it absorbs deeply and continuously works with your skin's natural renewal process to strengthen your skin's barrier and help retain and boost moisture even after your shower. So we all love an upgrade. Why not upgrade to Dove's new Advanced Care Body Wash, available now nationwide. On the podcast today, Charlene Murphy, who needs no introduction to so many of you. She is the host of the very successful podcast Hold My Drink with her co-host Ellie. She's one of Ireland's most successful influencers and has worked with RTE on their own show, and they've hosted to thousands of fans in their Vicar Street shows. But her bravest work yet was when Charlene shared her story of being attacked in February 2023. She was sitting in the booth of a restaurant in Dublin when she was punched in the back of her head in a completely unprovoked attack. With the force of the blow, Charlene's head hit her glass on the table. Afterwards, she was taken to hospital and an ambulance, where she got stitches and was left with a scar. This man, who Charlene had never met, was jailed but released early, and she was not informed of his release. Today, Charlene not only speaks to me about her incredible success, how she found the courage to really believe in herself, but she speaks about her attack, her recovery from her attack, and everything she has been able to do and share with other women across the world since then. This is so brave and so generous of Charlene to share. And I know it's not easy for her to talk about this. I'm so grateful to her for all the inspiration today and every day. And I hope we get to keep in touch. Charlene Murphy, welcome to The Good Glow. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm such a fan.
Oh, well, listen, welcome to The Good Glow. I am so thrilled to have you on and I can't wait for this chat. Obviously, along with everyone else, I've been watching from the outside in, and you've been so generous with sharing your life with the world. I suppose my first question is, like, what is your favorite part of your job?
I would say the flexibility of it, and like picking your own hours and like being able to work. It kind of still means I work more hours probably than I would if in a regular job, but I can pick if I wake up one day and say I'm having a really bad day or something happens, I can just change things around. And I think that's like the beauty of it. I don't think it's like, it wouldn't be about money, it wouldn't be anything else, just the flexibility of like being able to do what I want kind of when I want to do it. Like, obviously there's some things that need to be deadlines and things like that, but I just love having that freedom. I think that's like, money can't even buy that. Like, I just think it's great.
Yeah, and you spoke before about growing up, and you were really good in school and you were quite shy. And do you ever in your wildest dreams think that this would be your life?
No, not. I literally wouldn't talk to it like a wall. I went to play school every day, cried every single day for 2 years, cried all of junior infants every day going in. And then it got to Halloween time of senior infants, and my mom was like, you need to stop crying. She's like, your brother is getting upset every morning looking at you cry. I'm getting upset looking at you cry. And then it just clicked and I just stopped. But it was nearly like I got into this routine of crying, because when I got in, I was fine. But it was like leaving my mom. I had this like, I think I've had anxiety since being that small. I think it's just something that I was like literally born with. But to be doing what I'm doing now, like a lot of public speaking is involved, a lot of events are involved. Like, that's never something that I would have been comfortable with like when I was younger. But I got to a point where I was just really sick of being shy and like quiet. And I felt like it was stopping me from doing things I wanted to do, because I always love fashion and beauty. And I was like, I just need to like snap out of it. Like, there needs to be something I can do. So when I got to college, I was like, right, I just need to like start putting my hand up and like saying things out loud on my terms. Cause I hate like being picked on in a class or when a teacher is looking at you. I'd rather just say it myself. And then I feel like I built confidence that way. So it was just kind of a thing of faking it till I made it. And then I actually am confident now by faking it the whole time. Which
I thought you were going to say, and I actually did make
it. Yeah. I actually made the confidence. So yeah.
That's so interesting to me because I always say, like, you have a right to change your mind about who you are. And I was also, like you, so shy in my later teenage years, early 20s. Like, if I'd see a camera, I'd like run a mile. And then I found myself to radio, which was, I suppose I liked, I liked being anonymous in radio. I remember you being on radio.
Was it Spin you're on?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Spin. Yeah, I remember it.
So I loved that it was just my voice and I got to write every day, like writing stories for the radio. But I like that. I suppose people looking in at you would think, oh, she has it all, the confidence, the biz. I'd never be like her because I'm not that type of person. Mm-hmm. But by you taking the leap and saying, do you know what? Today, I'm going to put up my hand. Today, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. Brings you to this place of
100%
absolute transformation.
Yeah. And I definitely read loads of like self-help books. And like, I love a quote. I love little quotes. My whole explore page Instagram is just quotes. And I remember seeing one. It was like, all it takes is 20 seconds of insane courage. And that stuck in my mind. Cause I was like, any decision you make, if it's scary, if it's something you're really worried about or scared of, like, it obviously good things. It just takes 20 seconds to be brave. And then you're there, like you've made the decision, you've done it. So I think I've kind of took that with me through life. I got it engraved on like a little bracelet as well. I'd done a skydive earlier this year, a couple months ago. And that was the same thing. I was like, just push myself out of the plane. Like that's my 20 seconds of the courage there. So it's just doing things before your brain can stop you and before it kind of tells you to start overthinking things. Because our brains can be like our worst enemy. It can tell you like, you know, oh God, that's a bit scary. People might judge you. People would say this and that. But as long as you're sure about something, like your brain then we'll kind of follow afterwards, I think.
Yeah, because there must be so many people with a passion that they're afraid to share with the world, whether it's fashion or beauty, interiors. Like every single person probably would take a photo or think of something and say, I'd love to say that online, but I don't have the confidence to do it. How did you push yourself out of your comfort zone to put yourself in front of the world?
Yeah, that was scary. So I started a blog originally when I was like 16, like a written blog. But I didn't tell anyone about it. And like, obviously the word of mouth is how you get things out at the start. Like you need to share your blog for people to actually see it. So obviously no one's seen it. And then I remember one day someone found it in computers in school and I went home and deleted the whole thing. So I was so embarrassed. I was like, I know, isn't that really sad? I deleted the whole thing. I was like, wiped it off the internet, gone. And then for years after that, I didn't stop thinking about it. And I was like, I wish I had kept that. Like, I wish I had the confidence. So in them years, I kind of built up my confidence more. And then the second I left school and got into college, I started a new blog. So I started a written blog, started doing that. And I was like I said, like, I'm a new person in college, like, won't see school people anymore. And just kind of, I was like, this is my life. I've been thinking about it for years. It's something that I want to do. You can't let someone down the road, someone in school, someone at work stop you. Like, that's the opinion that you think they have. They mightn't even say it, but you're creating this opinion based on what you think is in their brain. Yes. Like, that's not a way to live your life, really.
Oh, I know. And it's almost like, it's like an itch you can't scratch when you're not using your voice in the way that you know that you want to, but you're keeping yourself small for other people. Yeah. Like, there's so, I do it. I've, like, before we came on air, I was saying to you, I feel like in the last year I've had a bit of an identity crisis because so much of my identity was wrapped up in my illness and my health journey, my surrogacy journey. So when I came home from Tbilisi last year, I was like, I feel like I don't know who I am anymore. I don't know where to go. And I saw this amazing interview with Oprah and she said, in times of uncertainty, like, do nothing and the answers will come. Now, I thought the answers would come to me after a few days or a few weeks. It took months and I've been really patient with myself and I finally feel able to, you know, start building again who I am and who I want to be today. But I suppose it's just such a journey, isn't it? With our own thoughts and our own beliefs.
Yeah, there's so many like different phases in our lives as well where we go through that. I found it like after school, I was like, this is weird. And then after college, I was like, oh my God, now like my life really is my own. Like now I can shape who I want to be. I'm like, who do I want to be? Like, what do I want to do? Like, it's just, we never stop learning. kind of scary.
Never stop learning. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So tell me, obviously my future sister-in-law is Sophie Murray, and she's just the most amazing ray of sunshine. And even through my conversations with Pippa O'Connor, Rosie Connolly, Suzanne Jackson, I always say, like, they make it because they're genuinely nice people. And I've seen that with Sophie as well. Like, she's getting back what she's putting out into the world, which is, you know, the girly whirlies and giving, you know, we go out for dinner and we'd be walking somewhere and Sophie's back down the road because there's girls talking to her and she doesn't mind. She loves chatting to people.
Yeah.
Like, what if the women in Ireland and probably beyond, like, done for you over the last couple of years?
Oh, I honestly can't thank anyone enough ever. Like, just the support I've had for, like, since I first started, like, people who still follow me since then, people I chat to, like I said, like, on the road or on nights out. Like, I love having conversations with people and meeting people from the podcast as well that send in their dilemmas and we've, like, helped them. Like, it's just, I really feel like they're my friends when I meet them and they just are so genuine. I feel like, I hope that your followers are like a reflection of yourself, kind of, like, they're the same. I feel like we're the same kind of people, but they're just amazing. And when I went through a tough time there, like last year, like they really were there for me. And that's, it was a support system in itself of people sharing their stories and telling me things they went through, like to think that people trust me enough to tell me that and like feel like they can, is just, it's so special. So it's a really special bond I think that people have with their followers that isn't like talked about enough, I think.
Yeah, 100% not talked about enough. And when we show up to our run club or, you know, we go off to New York and Chicago to do half marathons, the people that come on those trips, I'm like, I can't believe there's like 200 people that are so nice on this trip.
Yeah,
like
every
single person. And I'm sure that's like when you guys do your Vicar Streets, like there's 1,000 people who are all supportive and positive and lifting each other up.
Yeah.
And that is a reflection of the work that you do. Like that's what, exactly like I was saying with Sophie, like what you put out, you're getting back. And I think it is for anybody, you know, sharing a journey. And there's so many like really hard moments in life, but actually there's so many good people in the world.
It really like restores your faith in humanity. Like everyone's just so kind. And like the fact that people like feel like they can approach me and come up to me as well is really special, because like that again shows like I'm approachable and like that they feel like they can go up and tell me maybe a problem they're having in person or like chat to me and we're having a few drinks and all this. Like I just think that is so special to have that relationship with them where they feel like we're friends, because we are, like
And tell me about your family.
So it's me, my sister, my brother. My sister's older and she has Rhea, who's my niece, my godchild, and she's pregnant again as well already, so she is gonna have 2 under 2 by the time I keep saying he's born. She doesn't know the gender, but I think it's a boy. And then my brother is younger, so he's 2 years younger than me. And then my mom and my dad, and my mom is German. And so they met in London at a Dubliners concert.
My dad's
from Dublin, and they met in London at a Dubliners concert, and my mom was German, so
And do you speak German?
We speak at home. I speak fluently.
So
when someone like I don't maybe know as well, or I'm with someone like just out whatever and I answer the phone, I'm talking German, they're like, they think they're going crazy for a second. They're like, what are you saying?
It's like Charlene's malfunctioning.
Literally, they're like, I thought you were having a glitch. Like, it's really handy though, because I've done it in school. So that was one less subject to worry about. And then done it in college as well for one of my subjects. So it was great.
Wow, that's absolutely amazing. I love that. And you touched on like a hard time, and I know you've been so brave in sharing everything that you went through. I remember actually where I was when I saw your Instagram post, and I you know when you just keep reading something over and over again because it doesn't feel like, how can this happen in Ireland? Or it's just like something you read about or something from a different America or something.
But
what I was thinking of before I came on here was, we all go through tough times, but I think to share a tough time in the middle of the tough time is the bravest thing of all. So what can you tell us about that time?
God, I think a lot of it was I was still in shock. Like I wouldn't even see it myself as being brave at the time. I think I was just like numb to it nearly. For like it took a while for it to actually set in what had happened. And I just obviously had to share because I couldn't post then for a while. And it was, I think it had already been in the newspapers at that point. But even when it happened, like, and then I went to court the next day and there was a reporter there and he came up to me and he was like, oh, look, this is going to be in the papers and stuff. Like, I just didn't register that would even be a thing. Like, I just didn't know still how serious it was, really. I was like in this daze, barely had slept, was just out of hospital that morning and straight into court. So I just think I was like completely dissociated. Like, I wasn't really there. But the hardest part then of reading it, and first of all, like, it was very confusing to read something like that and see your face on a headline like that, because it's something, like you said, you see about someone else or like someone else's situation in America, like something like that. But to see your own face, I think that made me dissociate a little bit as well, of like, that's me. But that, like, it was just bizarre. But yeah, it was just a very strange time straight afterwards. I just think a lot of it I don't remember. I literally am like, there's a time where I'm like, what was that period of my life? I don't remember one thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And for anybody who's listening and doesn't know what happened to you, are you comfortable to share what happened
night? Of course. Yeah. So it was February 23 and I was sitting at a restaurant. I'd gotten like a gifted hotel stay. So we went down to the restaurant and I posted where I was. So I posted like you would if you're getting some gifted, a tag of the restaurant. And within 10 minutes, someone came up and punched me in the back of the head, and my head went like so far forward that the glass I was drinking from that was on the table smashed into my head and left me with a scar here with stitches. And then he was arrested and put into prison.
And you did not know this person whatsoever?
I didn't know him personally, but from online messages, I did.
Okay, so he'd been sending you messages online and you had blocked him?
Yeah, multiple times.
And that night you were taken to hospital?
I was taken to hospital straight away. But I bounced up. I remember when they played the CCTV in court, like everyone just gasped and like they were like, how? I've never watched it. I said, I don't need that image in my head. I don't have it in my head. He came from behind as well. So I don't have an image of like him walking towards me and things, which I'm grateful for. If there's one thing, I'm like, that would be like quite haunting, I think. But the guards were like, I don't know how you just bounced up. It was like so, so full force. But yeah, I went to hospital that night. I was in there for, I think, 4 or 5 hours, and then went home, got like 2 hours sleep and was straight in court then the next morning.
Oh my God, that's absolutely shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you see, say, Kim Kardashian after what happened to her in Paris, where they broke into where she was staying and she's like, I'll never share my live location again. But that shouldn't be on you. You know, we shouldn't have to do that to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I know. And I actually have to, he's out of prison now, and I have to, even for my own peace of mind, from anything else, I have to hire security every time I go somewhere where I have to say that I'm there. Because obviously there's, you know, people can say to you, look, don't put up where you are. Like, don't show your location. But there's a time and place where I can't not say I'm there. Like, I can't not say I'm at my own show in Vicar Street. I can't not say I'm at an event that I'm hosting. Like, that's, you know, you can't pretend you're not going to be there. Obviously, if I'm out for dinner or food, whatever, I'll put up that an hours later. I'll put my food and tag it then. I'd never share something like that. But every time I share publicly that I'm somewhere, I'm going to be somewhere at this time, this day, ticket sales, whatever, I have security with me.
I can believe that, but I also can't believe that you have to do that, because that is your reality, is that you feel unsafe.
Like, this person was got out of prison early on good behavior as well. So it's a slap in the face. Anyone that goes through any kind of crime and has to go through the courts, like, I was expecting to be disappointed by what sentence he got, and I was. So I ended up not being disappointed, because I just knew it was going to be not very much. But then for them to get out early, I wasn't made aware that he was out either. I heard from someone who's seen him around, which again was like, it's so dangerous, really. Like, imagine I had seen him myself or whatever else. I just thought he was still in there. Like, no one told me that he was out. I just think so much needs to change with the justice system in Ireland. It's really bad.
So you were not told that he had been released?
No. Nope.
How did that make you feel?
Really, really bad. Like I said, a slap in the face. It was just like, how such a big thing that happened in my life for someone then to just, I don't know who, like along the line, who's meant to tell you. I'm not sure who's meant to make you aware, but for the end to just be disregarded. He gets out on so-called good behavior and I'm not told. I just think it's a joke, really. Yeah.
It's absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
And it's so sad and it's so scary and it's so wrong that you weren't told.
Yeah.
And so reckless.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why did you decide to share then?
It was obviously a part, I've shared everything in my life so far. And I just think that was no different. I think awareness needs to be raised about these things, about people going through the justice system, about how unfair it is. And I think even things like this will shed light to people of how ridiculous things are, like me not being told by with him being let out. Like when you haven't gone through it, you don't understand any of it. So the fact I have a big platform, people can see these things happening, just to be a bit more aware and to know how serious, like, it's so serious, like online kind of hate can get, I suppose, as well. The people that are out there and just being made aware of how bad the justice system is. Like the years that he got was nothing compared to the years of like trauma and healing and hurt that I'll have to deal with and I still deal with to this day. So it's just unfair, really.
Well, thank you on behalf of women in Ireland for shouting this from the rooftops, like every part of it, because I know from how famous you are that that is a scary thing to share, because everyone's going to have an opinion and everyone's going to have something to say. But the fact that you are able to face straight into that, no matter what anyone says, and speak your truth is honestly the bravest thing that you'll ever do in your life.
Thank you. There was a few, well, actually quite a lot of negative comments at the time, being like, well, that's what people get for sharing their locations, or like influencers shouldn't be doing this and that, like victim blaming. And like, you do enough of that yourself. I think when you go through any kind of crime, I think it's normal to say if you get your handbag stolen, you'd think, oh, I should have just not done this. Like maybe I should have held it tight or whatever. But like with this, you do the same thing. So like I went through a phase where I definitely did blame myself and was like, if I just hadn't gone that day, if I just had done this different, not posted that exact second, like all these things go through your head. So then when someone else is saying that and someone else is confirming that you maybe should feel like that, like all your brain needs is one more comment to make you believe, further believe what you're already thinking about yourself. So to see that written about it, I was like, God, it maybe is my fault, or maybe I should have done this and that. But you can't think like that. And like, thank God I have people around me who will tell me you're being silly, like they're being ridiculous. And then I had people as well who said they'd gone through like similar things and said, you're not a real victim, you know, like it, like all these kind of things of putting down what had happened. But I just don't think that crime should be compared to each other. Obviously there's way worse and there's way less, but that doesn't take away from a crime that happened that is awful. Like it doesn't need to be a competition of who went through something worse. We can all have our own like pain and trauma.
I remember once I got a message in my recovery from cancer to be like, hey, can you just be aware that not everyone survives cancer? And I was like, are you joking? I'm not going to not celebrate the fact that I got to survive something. No, I'm not going to like hide away.
No.
And obviously everyone's journey is different and everyone's experience of something is different. I've never been insensitive in the fact that I got to live. But it's funny how, because you have a public platform, that people feel like they have a say in how you heal from something or move on from something. But what you're doing is so important. Tell me about like the reaction you got from people who you helped in that time.
Oh, it was amazing. Like I said, I had so many stories. People come to me telling me that, you know, they're maybe currently going through it. And they said, like, I'm going to keep going with my case. It's really, because you're kind of like, what people don't know is you're in and out of court the whole time. It's really mentally draining. You might like randomly get a call to say you're in this week. You're kind of doing better and you're kind of getting back to yourself. And then you're back to square one. And like, it's really mentally draining. And there was a point where I was like, I'm bothered going through this court case. And that's, looking back, I'm like, that's crazy to think that. But that's what your brain jumps to when you're feeling so low about it. And you have to keep bringing yourself back to that place and keep rehashing your trauma every time on the stand. Like, that's a really tough thing to do. And then go out to the world and be like, I'm grand. Like, I just like, and then I felt so strained when I was going to the court every time. If I'd be out afterwards, you're walking around, you're like, oh my God, no one knows that I've just done this like really hard thing. And like, it's just, it made me, I don't know, it made me be more compassionate. I think I've always been a compassionate person and had empathy, but I think even more so to other people, that you just don't know what someone's been going through, let alone like, it could have been like something an hour ago that happened to them or something in their life. Like, everyone has their own thing, and you just have to be so sensitive and like nice to that. So people then were like, we felt that they could also go on with their court case when they felt like dropping it, that there's justice at the end of it. Because you hear all these stories that when there's no justice given, and it's terrible, but that makes people lose hope in it then for their own stories too. And that might make them drop it, or like, say, like, I'll leave that, I won't go through it anymore. So that people seeing that justice was given, although be it small, yeah, it was still some form of justice, and it kind of set a little bit of an example at least. So it just gave people a bit of hope. And I think that's one of the best things you can give people is hope.
Yeah, that's so true. And also, I'm sure you were getting messages from people and they were telling you things that they had never told the people closest to them.
Like, honestly, saying that this is something I've never told them before, that they might now go ahead and report it or tell someone about it and feel like they can. Because I think the power of influence, and I think it's really, people see it as, you know, fashion and beauty, but I always find, even if I see someone online talking about something that I've gone through, you just don't feel alone. Mm. And I think that is so powerful. Like, that's one of the best things you can give someone, is not for them not to feel alone in something, whether it's anxiety, like something small, if someone doesn't feel alone in something, it just takes such a burden off them. So even me just talking about it might have given someone peace, saying, oh my God, I've felt that feeling too, or I felt anxious too, or scared, or all these things. I just think it's really powerful that you're able to do that just online, and that was really important to me to share that then, because of that reason.
Just a short break to thank Dove's Advanced Care Body Wash for supporting the Good Glow this season. It's a big year for Dove. This is their best ever body wash with 24-hour renewing micro moisture. If your self-care needs an upgrade, you can choose to pamper, deeply nourish, hydrate, gently scrub or revive with 10 gorgeous variants. It's also free from sulfates, has biodegradable ingredients, and is packaged in recycled plastic bottles. So say goodbye to dry skin this season and step out feeling more beautiful and confident in your own skin with thanks to Dove's Advanced Care Body Wash. And then as well, like, when you've been through something, I think it's such an interesting observation, but it's like your conversations with people then just drop down a little bit more into your heart or a little bit deeper. It's like you all of a sudden have something in common with all women in the world, and not that all women in the world go through what you've been through, but maybe they've been through something else that's made them drop down. Do you know what I'm saying there?
100%. Like, yeah.
Did your conversations with people change after that?
Definitely. Or even people I've met out and people sharing things straight away. I just think you're all of a sudden on, like, you have something that you've all kind of gone through. Like, it's maybe not the same thing, but like, unfortunately, a lot of women go through something similar, and it's heartbreaking. I don't think you even realize how common it is until something happens, because then people will tell you about it and approach you with their stories. Whereas before that, you think, you know, they're like, nothing's ever happened to them. But then when something happens to you, they feel they can reach out, and you just become even more aware of how much of a problem it is in Ireland. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know you're so spiritual and you love like signs and horoscopes and all the things that I think keep us well in a crisis, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, well, my quotes help me face the day, or seeing a feather on the ground, or just something like small and silly. But tell us about like what helps you heal, or what helped you during that time to move forward.
So I went to therapy, like, I think it was, I love therapy. I've been therapy my whole life for different things. And I remember a week afterwards I went to therapy, I was like, how can I not let this affect me at all? And she was like, come on. And I was like, how do I just like let this just not? I was like, I don't have time for this. I'm really busy. Like, I just want to like not, like, basically just undo it. Like, and she was like, there's no way of doing that. She was like, come back in a few weeks' time or a few months' time. So I waited then, and I went back a few months later. Then I'd done a course of therapy then, and it was great. But I remember at the start I was literally like a shell of a woman. I just remember sitting there, it was like an online therapist, and just explaining to her, and she was even shocked. And like, I think the more you talk to people about it and the more shocked people are, then it sets in even more with you of how bad it was. But I was definitely in a state of shock myself for a good 6 months, I'd say. I think it happened in the February, and then I think it was October, and I like got really low about it. And I was like, it's been 6 months. Like I could talk to people about it. There's people I have, but I didn't want to, like, do you ever feel like you don't want to annoy someone by like keep bringing it up? And like, even though you have these people reaching out to you and people have been through something similar, you also, when you've something happened to you, it's so specific. You can't really then, like, no one really understands exactly what you went through, and no one ever will with any situation. Like, that's your feelings, your brain, your head, like, that's all you. But I think I found that hard, and I was like, I just felt really lonely sometimes in it, even though I had so many great people around me and give me advice and all that. But I think October time, I just felt really low and anxious. I think that's when it kind of properly hit me. But I done my therapy. I was finished at that point and went to Muay Thai. So I'd done that for a few months and I broke my ankle doing it.
What's that?
Muay Thai is Thai boxing.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like all elbows, hands, legs, everything involved. Because I think I felt really weak and I needed something to make me feel strong. And that definitely did. It was just something that I was doing like for myself again, like taking back my kind of power. And then I kind of had set goals for myself. I'd decided I'm going to do a skydive, which I don't like flying. I didn't like flying at the time. I'm fine now. And I was like, I just want to take my power back, because I think when something like that happens to you, you become very paranoid. And like, I started overthinking things that I'd never overthink before. And everything became scary. All these little things in my life that I'd never think twice about, I became scared of. So I thought by doing something really major, like jumping out of a plane, I was like, right, that's me taking back my power and like not let myself be put down by that. So just doing things like that, I think, and challenging yourself in ways too, and being gentle with yourself, but also setting yourself goals to make you feel strong. Because I think when you do things that you say you're going to do, your confidence kind of builds back up that way.
Yeah. Oh, so many takeaways there. First of all, Whitney Port, you know, I don't know, did you watch The Hills growing up?
Yeah,
so
I did.
She
yeah.
was on the podcast before, and I always ask people at the end, like, do they have a mantra or a quote that's really helped them? And hers is, no way out but through. And that is
love that.
So reflective of what you were saying there of like, I didn't want to do the therapy, but you knew you had to go through it to get to the other side. And that's that like has to get hard. It gets harder before it gets easier. And as well, like sometimes I think I also went to therapy for years, and one thing that really helped me actually as well as therapy was like moving things out of my body. So you saying there with the Thai boxing and stuff like that, like moving your trauma out of your body or feeling physically stronger or just simply shaking it out, I think can move stuff out of your body too.
Definitely, definitely. Even like yoga, like meditation, breathing, all that, because anxiety was definitely a huge thing after it. So like just anything that was take my mind away and getting like the good hormones out. Like I know such a difference even now if I'm exercising, when I'm not, like my anxiety will be through the roof. But yeah, then I go do a class, I'm like, oh my God, that's all I needed. Like it was just, yeah, definitely moving. It's great to move your body. 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
What does your downtime look like just when you get to just kind of be with yourself or the people you love?
I struggle with like relaxing. Definitely. I've actually got diagnosed with ADHD 2 years ago, I think. So I definitely struggle with like actually just sitting down and relaxing by myself. I like need someone with me to relax, to like tell me. Because I find it sometimes, I've seen a quote before and it was like, when you're relaxing, but you're not actually, you're thinking about like things you have to do, you're not actually relaxing. Mm. Like I've never relaxed in my life in that case.
Yeah.
But I love like a sober weekend. I don't drink that much anyway, but like I love a really fresh weekend and going for like a hike. But I love Pilates. I found such a love for that. It's just so like slow and it's all about your breath. And I find I'm really present in the class because you actually can't go on your phone and things as well. Seeing the girls, just chilling in one of our apartments, and being with Dan Ozell, my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Just chilling with him and lying on the couch. Yeah.
How supportive has he been to you over the years?
Oh, amazing. I mean, it must be so hard for him to have to see me going through things and like the attack and even like online hate and things like that. But it's really nice because he's a footballer. So he gets it because he gets the same. So we both get hate together. So it's nice that he kind of like relates and we can both laugh things off together. I think it'd be really hard like for me, if he wasn't kind of on that level, like the level of understanding it, because I know some people wouldn't get it and be like, why is that annoying or whatever else, but we kind of both have that mutual understanding. But he's been amazing. He's like my soulmate. So,
oh, that's so beautiful. And even like the Beckham documentary, like I feel like I'm 40 next year. So I was of the era of growing up, you know, David Beckham was our Harry Styles.
Yes.
But I feel like when people watched their documentary, they were like, oh my God, he got so much hate. And footballers just get such abuse, don't they?
Yeah, it's really bad. And even the documentary, I think, shed a light onto how much there is behind the scenes as well. Like, they think you just pop off the train and kick a few balls. Like, there's so much time involved. And like, you can't, there's like, people always ask me, oh, like, would you not go away with Dano for a few days? I'm like, you can't just book time off. There's no such thing. They get a week in, currently the team he's at, a week in summer, and then like 3 weeks around Christmas time, I think. But like, there's no such thing as booking a day off. Like, it's very mentally tough as well as physically, but he loves it. He's really passionate about it. So I think you have to be with anything like that. That's actually going to be mentally draining. You have to have a passion. And yeah, he loves it. So,
and to both be working in your purpose is insane.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me about, like, what are you most excited about at the moment that you're working on?
Ooh, probably more podcast live shows. Because, yeah, so we haven't released dates yet, but I love seeing everyone in person, because you probably know yourself, like, people are listening to you, but never feels real until you meet someone. So definitely podcast live shows. My Linnet collection just launched. Linnet Jewelry, so I have the earrings in right now.
Ooh.
That's just launched. My cash collection is still going as well. And that's makeup. So there's loads going on, but I can't wait for like Christmas time. I feel like it's the first year I have actually looked forward to it.
Yeah.
I usually like the Grinch and like get so much hype and build up and all, but I'm looking forward to it.
Do you think that you would do international shows?
I'm hoping. I put it into the group chat yesterday. Now the place is very far away, but I'm praying they say yeah.
I think, like, even with the Good Glow, I'm like to Jamie, let's do a show in Australia, because there's so many Irish people who listen to the podcast in Australia, because it makes them feel like a bit of home.
100%. They're listening to an Irish voice. It's, people say that it's really comforting, and like, just to know that there's like someone Irish on the phone when you're not here, not all the time, it's really nice, I think, to hear. Yeah.
And then you could stop into Bali on your way and do your a little
and find
retreat.
Myself perfect. And that'd be a great time. And after all the shows.
Yeah. Well, listen, Charlene, I could literally sit and talk to you all day. Thank you for going above and beyond for the Good Glow. Appreciate it. I know how busy you are. Before we go, will you leave us with a little mantra or quote that resonates with you in some way?
Probably what I said earlier on, the 20 seconds of insane courage. Because I think it's just times like that when you need to make that jump or whatever it is that you really want to do, but you're scared. Like, if you, it seems like a really big deal, but it's only 20 seconds or 10 or whatever that decision is. Like, it's just, it's kind of as hard, but as easy as that as well. So I think like having something like that in your head is really important.
Oh, I love that one. Because normally like we'd get there's no way out but through. But like, I love 20 seconds of insane courage.
Yeah, just
like,
to the point. Like,
where like you're giving people an action there. They're listening to this podcast and they might just be like, do you know what? I'm just going to do it. So thank you for that. And best of luck with everything going forward. And I just know, I can see you doing shows overseas and the world is your oyster, and enjoy it. And I know you are.
Yeah.
But like, enjoy the moment, because you absolutely deserve it.
Thank you so much for having me on, Georgie. It's been great.
A huge thank you to Charlene for such a beautiful conversation. And I'm so grateful to her for sharing so much with us today. She truly is a gorgeous person. So if you didn't listen to my episode with Tori Towie last week, you might enjoy it. Tori was placed on a travel ban in Dubai. She faced 6 months in prison and was stranded in Dubai before intervention from Simon Harris and his team, who got her home to Ireland this summer. Her story made headlines around the world. She is another
absolutely brave and beautiful person. So I will link that podcast in the show notes. Other links in the show notes are Christmas show Let It Glow is taking place in the National Concert Hall on the 1st of December, 5 p.m. on a Sunday. So you can have your girls' lunch beforehand or a little dinner afterwards. Bring your husband, your friends, your loved ones. We're going to have live Christmas music. We're going to turn the concert hall into a winter wonderland. We're going to have inspiring talks, lots of laughs, and we're really going to kick off the festive season together on the 1st of December. So if you're a real Christmassy person and you want to get into the festive spirit on the 1st of December, come to the National Concert Hall. I'll leave a link in the show notes for tickets. And we also have a few tickets remaining for our New York Half Marathon. It's taking place on St. Patrick's weekend next year. We've got a few spots left. We're starting training in October. We have all the information on thegoodglow.ie if you'd like to get involved and run the half marathon with us. Why not? This is an experience of a lifetime. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're off to run the Chicago Half this week with 60 members of Team Good Glow. We'll be keeping you up to date over my Instagram, Georgie.Crawford, and I can't wait to share this journey in Chicago. Thanks for tuning in today, and a big thanks to Dove for all the support this season.